Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this Krishna consciousness process. Is not something artificial. Everything should be natural. It is natural. It's natural for us to be happy serving Krishna. This is our natural position, but misuse of independence or by some great blunder, we've come into an unnatural situation. And in that unnatural situation, we've been here for so long that it seems natural. So this is the dilemma. Because of our misidentification with the body as the self, it seems natural to be mostly concerned about the body and the extended body, the wife, the children, and to neglect the soul. Prabhupada used to give the example of the bird in the cage. We're so busy polishing the cage, but we neglect to feed the bird. So the bird is us, really, the soul. We can see the body is temporary. Mind is also changing. We have one mental mind in the morning, another one at noontime, next day something else. So we're observing that. We are the observer. We are the bird in the soul or in the heart. We're the soul. And Krishna describes what is the nature of the soul. And the, you can say, dynamic feature of the soul is that it's full of desire. It's not something that's just, like stone. No, it has consciousness, it has desire. These are the symptoms, eternal. So that desire is what brought us to the material world. We thought we have an advantage by separating ourselves from Krishna. So now in this human form of life, we can understand that we made a mistake and give up these material desires. This is the opportunity human form of life is affording us. We can see that our material desires are simply causing us trouble. Jiva Goswami prays like that, that we pray to the Lord that we can see where our material desires will take us. We can't see. We don't make the full circle. We only see one part of the circle. But if we follow it all the way around, we'll see it leads to suffering. But the first part, oh, this looks like great, sweet 16. But then there's a bitter 60s. We don't see that part. So Jiva Goswami is praying, let us see the whole circle before we become enamored by these material desires. Then we'll be able to give them up. Now, just like Magrari the hunter, he couldn't see. What's the harm of torturing the animals? Then by his mystic power, Narada Muni showed him, these animals are going to have a chance to come back and torture you. And then when he saw that, he said, well, this is not good. So he saw, he could see that. The circle. We don't see the circle. We just see the first stage. Oh, this looks great. Illicit sex. Oh, yes, I can enjoy. So, if we see, then we can give up. Just like stool. Every day we pass stool, we don't have any problem flushing the toilet. Because we can see, this is not a very palatable stuff. Obnoxious. So, but a few minutes before, it was very intimately connected with our body. We don't have any problem, because we can see. So we're praying, Om Agyana Timirandasya Janaganasalaka. Give us the eyes that we can see what is the actual situation. And then we can give it up. But Maya is so strong that it covers us. We can't see. And even we hear, even that's why we stress this ninth offense. To maintain material attachment, even after understanding so many instructions. So many instructions are there, but still, it's so deeply rooted that we keep that material attachments. And so we suffer, that's all, we suffer. But then by good fortune, the Acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, may come with such compassion, that's what Srinivas is described as brimming over with compassion. So much compassion he had for the sufferings of the humanity. Otherwise, who cares? Who cares for the other person? We don't. There's hardly any compassion in this world. And if there is compassion, it's on the false platform, bodily platform. And nobody really cares for the soul, for the bird in the cage. So Prabhupada had that kind of compassion. Therefore, he's forcing us, practically. Don't remain here. Don't refuse to give up your material desires. Why do you refuse to give them up? Can't you see? So he's reminding us again and again. He comes. His books are there. His servants are there. Sometimes he comes directly to continue to inspire us. Give up these stool-like desires. So, the kirtan like this, the satsang, it can make us a little sober. It's a nice process, right? We stand and chant and sing. It's not a very strenuous process, but it's very powerful. We don't have to go away from our family. We don't have to go to the Himalayas or something and perform severe austerity. Just come together like this. Sit together, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, have a little talk. But we have to do it, sincerely. And sincerely try to improve ourselves. Sincerely try to follow. In the beginning, it may be a little difficult, but it becomes joyfully performed. When we begin to see more and more, Prabhupada said, you only have to give up a poison. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. I think every one of us sees that meat eating is not a stumbling block. Right? Nope. I don't think anybody is. Why? Because we have such a nice prasadam. But the karmis, I remember I was preaching and so on. Giving up meat, that's our happiness. They think it's a big austerity. So we can see now it's poison. Literally, the scientists tell us it's poison. You get colon cancer, everything. But so many things you can get from eating so much meat. So for us, it's not difficult. We give it up because we can actually see it's poison. Intoxication. We should be able to see it's poison. Gambling, but what is the? It simply agitates your mind. And illicit sex is the same. Nobody's peaceful who's having illicit sex. You can't be peaceful. So why don't we give up these poisons? And then, on the positive side, we take this process seriously. We make some plan to rise early. Morning is the best time. It means we shut off the television. Where's the television? In the other room?
We got one.
This television is a big maya. Keeps us up at night watching some drama or something, somebody's imagination. And then we have a hard time getting up. But morning is the best time. Get up early, chant some Hare Krishna, and then you make progress. As you make progress, you feel better. That's all. Because just like Prabhupada gave the example of being on the train. The train is meant to take us someplace. We're sitting on the train. We may have a very comfortable compartment. Air conditioning or heating and whatever we require. Somebody's bringing us cold drink, magazine. But if we're sitting in the station hour after hour, we become restless. We got on the train. We have a purpose. Similarly, life, there's a purpose. Not just to sit here and enjoy life. No, there's a purpose. That won't make us happy. Because deep in our heart, we know this human form of life is something special. We're not just like animals. We can make tangible spiritual progress. If we start making that progress, then we feel satisfied. Others are just loitering. They won't be happy. How can they be happy? They're spoiling opportunity. And therefore they become bored. Been here, seen that, done that. And so for excitement, they go to something strange, right? Violence or something unnatural. Just to titillate the senses. They become jaded. And so they have to resort to some kind of perverted, more perverted. The whole thing is already perverted. It becomes more perverted. They're not interested in normal sex life. They want sex life with animals or something strange, right? That's what it comes to. Because people become bored. You know, because there is a purpose, but they're not going in that direction. So they're not happy just loitering here. So we're very fortunate by some Bhagyavan Ajeev, we've met the devotees. Good fortune, that means Bhagyavan, some causeless, we say, unexpected, good fortune. We've come in connection with the bona fide process and the bona fide devotees, especially Srila Prabhupada. So we should be very joyful that this opportunity has come. And take advantage of it. Don't let it slip through our fingers. Don't again become a worldly enjoyer, vishayi, and thinking you can be happy here, chewing the chewed. So this requires a little deep intelligence. Otherwise, on the surface, it looks like that's like the child. They won't be able to understand philosophy. They won't be able to. Because their intelligence is not deeper. They take everything just on the surface. Like animal. Child is more or less like animal. Until their brain develops. So don't remain like a child. Of course, child has a good qualities too, Prabhupada used to say. The child is guileless. They're not tricky, right? They don't have any hidden agenda. They just do what they feel like doing. So that's a qualification, because we become a little older, then we become sophisticated. I mean, we guard our feelings and we pretend, we say something, we mean something else. So that quality is nice. But otherwise, child is innocent, we say. We should also become innocent. This is a very important qualification, not to be tricky. Kutinati is one of the faults. We may be foolish, but at least we should be honest fool. Then we can be corrected. But if we're pretending something, then how can anybody help us? If we're pretending we're asleep, how can anybody wake us up? So this is a big stumbling block to be tricky. Just be open, straightforward. We may make mistakes. You may say the wrong thing. But if your intention is not bad, then your superiors will be happy to help you. We all have superiors. Even in the spiritual world, we'll have superiors. But we have to learn how to get their mercy. And because they're by nature, they're very merciful. They want to help us. But if we refuse their help because of our pride, because of our false ego, then what can they do? It's a voluntary process. Even Prabhupada couldn't force his followers, his disciples. What can he do if they don't want? Okay, so any questions or comments? I was just reading this book that Radhika bought for me about the different devotees' experiences But it was Sudama was telling experience that he came into Srila Prabhupada's room in Hawaii. Prabhupada was before sunset. Prabhupada was looking out and he was crying. Prabhupada was crying. And Sudama didn't know what to do. He went back out of the room and he asked Govindadasi, she was the secretary, she said, whatever she was, I don't know. He asked her, what's Prabhupada doing? He said, he's experiencing Krishna, he's being Krishna conscious. Like she took it. Something kind of normal. And then after a little while, Sudama went back in. Prabhupada was still crying, and he started crying. And then Prabhupada said, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I'm seeing Krishna. You can see Krishna. And Sudama was crying, and then some other devotees came, and then everybody was crying. Lots of devotees were standing. There's so much feeling, so much emotion is there. It's not something dry. There's real juices here. Not just dry, you know, like the Gyanis, Sabhabhu Bhattacharya, when he was a great scholar, logician, very expert. But he confessed, he said, I was eating the dry oil cake. When they take the seeds and they squeeze the oil out of it, you know, mustard seed, whatever. Then what's left is a dry cake they give to the animals because it has nutrition. But there's no juice, it's all dry. Because I was eating these kind of dry cakes. But now you've given me the most relishable. So it's a very joyful, juicy process. We shouldn't be hard-hearted. We should be... finding real satisfaction. This is what the soul is looking for. We're always looking for some rasa, for some experience that will give us satisfaction. So it's here, on this side. But it's not cheap. Sometimes we say, God is free, but he's not cheap. He's free. He's free for everybody. He's everybody's heart. He's free. But in order to access him, you have to want him. You have to have... Otherwise, the mind will give you so many wants. I want it like a child. I want this, I want this. Give me this, give me that. So we're the same, only a little sophisticated. With our shirt and tie, we have the same desire. We want to victimize somebody or something, exploit it for our satisfaction. Give me, give me. Only as we get older, then our desires are not so simple. We become crooked. Therefore Christ said, unless you become guileless like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. He saw that his disciples were calculating some political thing. Who is the more advanced? Who is, you know, kind of jockeying for position? Who's going to be the best devotee? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta used to say like that. Don't try to be the best devotee. Or don't try to be great, the greatest devotee. But be a good devotee. Be the opposite. You want to be great, but only Krishna is great. Krishna is Vibhu. We are Anu. Anu, we are small. We can never be great, but we can be good. We can be good devotees if we do what the spiritual master wants. If we keep ourselves open for his use, then we have some value. Then we'll feel satisfied. Okay? Comments? Same with Gayatri.